Welcome to the Apologia podcast, the audio-only archive of the Apologia YouTube channel. Note that some content was designed to go with visuals, but the imagination can be a powerful thing. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider giving it a 5-star rating on the podcast app you're using now to help us reach more people. Or, since this endeavor is ad-free, consider going a step further and supporting us for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/apologia. But for now, let's get to the episode, part of the Ham and Egg News series, posted October 25, 2023, titled Ancient Iceman Leaves Evolutionists Stunned. Welcome to Apologia, and another edition of Ham and Egg News, where we react to Ken Ham reacting to things. Well, I guess Ken Ham's employees reacting to things, since Ken himself is rarely on anymore.
Hey guys, I am Brian Osborne, joined by Dr. Kaya Kloster and Rob Webb. And this is, again, Answers News. We're so glad you're here. We'll cover a bunch of news items from a biblical perspective, but we will start with this one.
I miss when they had fun banter. They don't do the fun banter anymore either.
A new look at Otzi, the Iceman's DNA, reveals new ancestry and other surprises. And so what this is an Iceman.
Mr. Iceman to you.
So he was found in ice. Poor guy. Right? But he was found, and basically they've studied him over multiple years now. And he's a mummy found out of melting ice out of a glacier. And initially did a DNA analysis and thought he had particular ancestors. And then further analysis with better tools led to different conclusions.
So once again today, we're going to check each story on Ground News to get a sense of what kind of sources we're looking at, any bias in the reporting, and all the meta context we need to evaluate and understand what's to come. Now for Answers News, this article selection is almost as rare as a man frozen in ice. 12 news sources, 100% of which are from high factuality outlets, and also 100% of them are from central bias sources. No one on the left or the right saw fit to weigh in on this one. But don't worry, there's no story so boringly, purely based on facts over opinion that our ARC crew can't have a hot take.
So yeah, there's some ideas that have been formed about when different people groups might have arisen in different places in the continents. And so this was unusual in that he seemed like an outlier, like his ancestry should not have arrived yet at that time. In 2012, they did a full genomic analysis. And then now just recently, they did another one because the way we look at DNA, it's much more affordable, it's much more quick, and so we can look at it pretty easily now.
It's true that DNA analysis is faster and more affordable now than in 2012, but we do source methodology here on Ham and Egg News, which means finding the scientific paper that the popular media is based on, the least that Dr. Kloster should have done here. In the abstract, we learned that the 2012 study was low coverage and had high present-day DNA contamination. The new study generated a high-coverage genome with low contamination. Perfect.
And in this new analysis, they kind of came up with some different ideas.
Indeed. It's a feature of science, not a bug, that when new evidence contradicts old ideas, that we change the ideas, not deny the new information. The initial results were confusing because they were unknowingly inaccurate. Now that more accurate measures have been taken, it's all pretty mundane, actually, which is probably why no left or right bias media bothered to comment on it.
You got to think biblically here. Make sure you always separate the facts from the fictions here. So when we start with the biblical worldview, obviously we would disagree with a lot of the timing in here. They talk about Iceman being over 5,300 years old, but of course the flood was only 4,300 years old, so we have to adjust our timeline to that. So what we're talking about here is post-flood, post-Babel, not long after that.
Rob has a problem not with this new paper. It's just citing dates from this 1994 study, which used accelerator mass spectrometry to carbon-14 date the specimen to 4,500 to 5,300 years old. AIG has no problem when this method is used to date archaeology like Jericho or the materials of biblical-era manuscripts, tombs, or pottery. It's just a problem when they don't like the results. Of course, if the Earth is only 6,000 years old, they could easily admit Iceman is 5,300 years old. But they also need to preserve the Tower of Babel story so Iceman shouldn't be traveling in Europe before then.
The bottom line here that's so confusing to these evolutionists is that Otzi, or Otzi, however you say it, was a relative of us, you know, like all people, descended from Adam. And he was a pretty smart guy, too. If you guys actually check out our website, we have a couple articles talking about him, of how intelligent and sophisticated he was. I mean, this guy had a fire-building kit. He had a copper head axe. He had waterproof shoes. So he was a very smart guy. Wow. And obviously, they're very puzzled because the evolutionary worldview, they have that wrong starting point that believes that, you know, we're just dumb brutes, and so they're so confused at how he can have all this great technology being so old in their time scale here. So
5,000 years is nothing on the evolutionary scale. Charred bones and ash have been found at archaeological sites like Wonderwork Cave in South Africa, giving evidence of controlled fire usage by hominins a million years ago. The earliest evidence of copper smelting and metallurgy dates back to 7,000 years ago in areas of the Middle East, where people began to extract and work with copper for tools and ornaments. The oldest known preserved footwear, known as the Arini 1 shoe, was discovered in Armenia and dates back to 5,500 years ago. The use of clothing by early hominids is challenging to pinpoint precisely because clothing materials, such as animal hides and plant fibers, tend not to preserve well in the archaeological record over long periods of time. It's probably been hundreds of thousands of years, but artistic depictions of humans with clothing are found in the Upper Paleolithic period, 30,000 years ago. So nothing in Iceman's inventory are making any archaeologists scratch their heads. No evolutionists are stunned, as per this video's title. Sorry, Rocket Rob. Before we jump to the next story, I'd like to thank the sponsor of today's video, Ground News. Listen, I've been using Ground News regularly for about 4 months now, and it's very much changed the way I consume and access news. You can use it to create your own personalized news feed. I get alerts from my province, my sports team, my tech, my entertainment franchises, atheism, and Christianity. There's also a one-of-a-kind blind spot feed to see stories that are over or underreported by both the left and the right. But the superpower comes from taking any news story any rando on the internet throws at you.
12th grade boys becoming more conservative as girls trend overwhelmingly liberal, survey finds.
You drop it into Ground News, and instantly you got a list of outlets covering it, a story summary and comparison, bias distribution, factuality distribution, nationality coverage, and more. We're going to be doing this for all our stories today. You can follow along at ground.news/apologia. And if you subscribe through that link, you'll get 30% off unlimited access for this month only. And you'll also be supporting the mission of this channel. Link down below.
Ancient skull found in China is unlike any human seen before. So this is talking about the discovery from 2019 of fragments of a skull along with some limb bones from a 12 to 13-year-old child they found there in China. And they've just now released their study on this particular specimen. And from the evolutionary worldview, they're a little bit confused because it doesn't match with any of the known so-called human lineages.
Okay, well, let's take a peek at the coverage summary on Ground News. 29 outlets cover the story, 35% coming from mixed factuality sources, something to keep an eye on. Mostly center coverage at 44%, but this one is getting play on the wings, with 33% left bias and 22% right bias. By the way, Ground News has a whole section on how these bias labels are determined, fully by third parties. My favorite new Ground News feature lets me click on this handy comparison button to get an AI-generated breakdown of how the left and right biases differ in their framing of any given story. All biases agree on the main facts. A skull discovered in China with both modern and primitive characteristics suggests the existence of a new hominin lineage. However, the right-leaning content introduces the notion of the ancient child's skull, showing that modern human characteristics may have evolved earlier than previously assumed. The framing differs slightly. The left presents it as a new lineage coexisting with other hominins, while the center and right refer to a hybrid lineage or hybrid species, suggesting possible interbreeding between primitive and modern humans. In terms of language, the right-leaning source uses terms like more primitive, implying an evolutionary progression that the other biases do not emphasize. The right-leaning text also puts more emphasis on challenging current theories of human evolution, while the left and center focus on the skull's distinctiveness and possible link to other ancient hominins. Like any AI-generated content, best practice is to trust but verify before you repeat it as fact. This is just similar best practice with something you find on Wikipedia or social media. So everyone in my audience should be used to that. I did a sampling of the articles and found this summary to be pretty accurate. So the alarmist incompatibility spin we hear from Avery is coming from the right rather than from the scientists. In pure science stories like this, I prefer to just skip the news coverage altogether and go straight to the peer-reviewed published paper. Reporters, just like YouTubers, need to sell the sexiest clickbait angle. In this case, apparently the right is obsessed with wanting its audience to imagine interspecies boots knocking. They do have the book with the Nephilim, after all.
So this is some kind of, in their view, a hominin they've never seen before. It's got some features that look similar to anatomically modern man. There's some features that look similar to the Denisovans and others. And so they're kind of wondering, does this mean we need a new branch on the family tree? What do we do with this?
That's correct. Scientists have become aware of new information, and they're taking time to ponder what it means and reflect on whether they have to change their previously held opinions as a result, because opinions bow to facts. But back in the land of fact-resistant opinion...
But this specimen, as we've learned so well from Dr. Minton, who taught us these things, we look at the slope of the face and the angle of the zygomatic arch and those other pieces where the spinal column would come into the base of the skull. All those features point us to the fact that this would be a fully human individual. Mm-hmm. And that's all we can say about this.
To review, how young Earth creationists wave away any evidence of evolutionary gradients, transformations, or transitional fossils is to simply declare things fully X or fully Y, like you're rounding up a decimal place to the nearest integer. By Rogers' logic, 1.3 is just 1, and 1.8 is just 2. And then he can loudly brag that all numbers are integers, and there are no decimals, because he's refused to acknowledge them.
No, I can't.
He decrees fully human, and that's all we can say about this. That's clearly false. There was a lot else to say.
But it's one individual. So as you look at this from the perspective of a paleontologist and examining specimens, can we really conclude a lot when we've got just one specimen here?
No, not really, because you cannot really compare.
Fine point. You generally shouldn't infer a trend from a single data point, but a single data point can be enough to falsify other hypotheses. For example, one black swan is sufficient to tell us that not all swans are white.
So you could just, it could be some, like a person that it was sick, you know, so it was born with some different features in the skull.
Sounds to me like she was making that up on the spot, post hoc, as it were.
When they find, they want to draw a lot of conclusions right after they find it.
Okay, but this skull was discovered in a 2006 excavation. I hate to break this to everyone, but that was 17 years ago. Our awareness of this specimen is old enough to vote in the next U.S. federal election. This is the fourth research paper covering the skull. It's hardly drawing conclusions right after they find it.
Yeah. Especially when you have the wrong worldview that you're looking at this through. They're looking at it through the lens of millions of years of human evolution and all these different branches, some went extinct, some continued to develop till we get to us today.
But that's not just a worldview. All of those things are backed by multiple lines of physical data. It's not an ideological divide. Because of the evidence, millions of Christians acknowledge millions of years of human evolution and conclude that this is not incompatible with their faith.
Mm-hmm. We think about the point of the gospel is that Adam sinned. He brought death and destruction and disease in the world by disobeying God's commands.
If you agree with Roger, I encourage you to recognize that this view isn't backed by physical data, but merely a particular interpretation of a particular holy book, one that isn't shared by most people who believe the book. This isn't just a difference of opinion. One group is looking at all the data, and the other is ignoring most of the data. A creator God has nothing to fear from you taking in the full of his creation.
Sadly, many inside of the church are trying to blend evolutionary ideas.
Yeah, a lot of seminaries, a lot of Christian colleges.
Exactly. They're not doing this because they want to sin or deny God. It's not ideological. They're doing this because they can't pretend that the young Earth position conforms to known reality.
Yeah, we have a resource here, Searching for Adam, which is an excellent book if you're wanting to learn more about the truth that we really are all descended from Adam and Eve.
A lot has changed in Answers News over the years, but you can rest assured they're still selling books and DVDs.
Go to the foundation of the argument, which is the authority issue. God's word versus man's ultimately is what it is every single time. And speaking of that, it even gets to our cartoons, like this one.
I know, right? The cartoon you're watching now has always been a problem.
Nickelodeon hires radical LGBTQ activists to create a non-binary character for Paw Patrol spinoff.
I'm guessing Nickelodeon didn't put out a press release calling their new writer a radical activist. What does Ground News tell us? Only 24% coverage from high factuality sources, mostly mixed factuality, 67%, and 10% low factuality. Pretty much no coverage in the center, so it's a polarizing story, 33% left bias, and 62% right. So there are twice as many people angry about this as happy about it. Let's check the Ground AI bias comparison. Left sources focus on significant step towards inclusivity, emphasizing progressiveness. Center coverage highlights backlash from right-wing critics and the subsequent controversy. Right emphasizes the character's introduction as a result of a push for more diverse representation. Right coverage also gives contextual information. The episode was written by a gay activist. That's kind of unsurprising. What's the actual truth in the middle of it all? Now, I must confess, I no longer have any children in the target demographic for Paw Patrol. I've barely heard of it. And they're not even talking about the main show, but a spinoff. According to TelevisionStats.com, Rubble and Crew is the 22nd most popular show for kids right now. So, not nothing. But we're also not talking about the next Big Bird, or Dora the Explorer, or Peppa Pig, which is a name I had to look up, because my personal knowledge ends with Dora.
Swiper, no swiping!
Oh, man!
And so Nickelodeon's Rubble and Crew will include a non-binary character designed by pro-abortion transgender consultant Lindsay Amir and voiced by a non-binary actor. And so basically, it's only for one episode.
One episode? One episode. So we're talking about a character with less screen time than the Answers News segment talking about them?
The person, Lindsay Amir, has written a book called Raising Queer Kids and incorporates queer theory. She uses the, them pronouns because that's not confusing.
Okay, where's Bodie Hodge when I need a fallacy?
No, that's irrelevant. That's a guilt right. by association fallacy. Right. It's a type of genetic fallacy which says a message is true or false based on the type of person who's saying it.
That's right, Patricia. It's a genetic fallacy or guilt by association to propose that a fictional story element is positive or negative based on the type of person who wrote it.
And they wanted a non-binary character that was aspirational and incredibly cool in this Paw Patrol spinoff. And so there's a show we do here at the ministry called Tilt Shift, where me and Tim Chafee, another speaker, look at movies from a biblical worldview.
There's an Answers in Genesis movie review show?
Like, my question is why?
That sounds like something I should be covering. Let me know in the comments if you'd like to see that. And give me the names of your favorite skeptic content creators who also love movies.
And a phrase we use all the time is watch what you watch. And I encourage you to watch what your kids watch. Because everything you watch has a message. Everything you watch, every commercial, every show, every video, every movie has an ideology they are evangelistic for and want you to agree with. They are trying to convert you to their particular view in big ways and in little ways. This is an example of one of the little ways.
How little are we talking about here? One very useful feature of Ground News is that it identifies which outlet broke the news. In this case, it's a left-bias site called Pink News, who unsurprisingly don't label the show writer Linz Amer as a radical. They do cite Amer's Instagram account as their source, so now we've done our source methodology due diligence, working backwards. A useful skill to practice. So in the one episode, The Crew Builds an Observatory, is a human character named River. According to the article, the episode doesn't explicitly mention that River is non-binary, nor which pronouns they use. So what is the single, solitary clue that the character is non-binary? Their socks are pink, white, and blue, the same color as the trans pride flag. That's it. All of this outrage is over the blink and you'll miss it ambiguous colors on a one-time character, primarily set at night, in the less popular spin-off of a cartoon about talking dogs. Socks. Let me maybe scold the other way. Paw Patrol people. This seems a little like rainbow capitalism to me, when corporations attempt to capitalize off pride without actually supporting the queer community. You knew you were going to temporarily boost interest in your obscure show by creating some controversy. Indeed, it worked. All these articles started hitting September 20th, and September 21st was the all-time peak for interest in your show. And that lasted about a news cycle. You hired a non-binary writer and a non-binary actor, but the affirmation that made it on screen came down to socks. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great that society is getting past the need to have race or gender or orientation or neurodivergence be the primary defining facet of on-screen characters. Excellent direction to avoid mere tokenization. But I think you completely undermine your natural inclusion if you're going out generating PR around it. Or maybe that's just me. Let me know what you think in the comments.
And there's this last quote to the article where this parent is saying, "It feels cruel to take away Paw Patrol from my kids. But what's more cruel is confusing my kids about their gender and introducing them to an ideology that encourages innocent children to medically alter their bodies in irreversible ways."
All from a pair of socks. No, on-screen socks have caused so many to sin since.
113 million-year-old dinosaur tracks have been revealed in Texas after a drought. So this is at the Paluxy River, and this is actually a very, very famous site.
Now, these have been known about for decades, and people have known these tracks are there. And this is one of those things in the creationist community that people have supposedly found human human prints alongside the dinosaur prints.
Supposedly? Oh, yeah. One of my favorite things, creationist versus creationist fight.
Okay, I want to get to the controversial issue here of the footprints in stone, the dinosaur tracks and human tracks that are apparently found together in Glen Rose, Texas. The tracks that are discovered there, here, I mean, my dad has talked about them for years.
And there's been a lot of interest in this as the smoking gun or the magic bullet that's going to prove to everybody that these humans and dinosaurs lived alongside one another.
Hey, this right here proves it. All evolutionists have to shut their doors. This is the best evidence, man. Dinosaurs and man walk together.
And so this is definitely a hotbed of controversy, if you will. And these tracks are very interesting. There's definitely tracks of a three-toed dinosaur, some type of theropod dinosaur. Acrocanthosaurus is in the area.
Oh, yeah, the new article. Let's do our ground news check. Just 7 sources this time, mostly outside of the United States, which is interesting. 50% right bias, 50% center, so no left bias coverage at all to compare differences in reporting.
Very fascinating find, but we're probably not going to agree with the dating on this, are we, Avery?
Yeah, not quite. Yeah, it dates these back to 110, 113 million years ago. Of course, we would disagree with that because the Earth is not that old. We would understand these tracks were made and buried during the flood. In order to preserve footprints, you have to bury them very quickly. I mean, we don't see footprints just fossilizing everywhere. They usually get washed away by rain or washed away when the river fills back up. But we find these footprints. So they had to have been buried very quickly. And the flood is the perfect explanation for how you could bury trackways like this very quickly.
Does it need to be the flood? Or can it just as easily be a flood amongst a series of floods? I don't know. Does the area even see a lot of floods?
That was only one of many flash floods. Now, I've spent hundreds of hours in the Paluxy Riverbed. That's the only river in the world I've ever seen go up about 20 feet in depth in one rainfall.
But the idea that there are human footprints somehow alongside these dinosaur footprints, which this article doesn't discuss, but has been supposedly discovered in the past. Again, it's a very dubious claim.
These footprints are of dinosaur tracks, and there are locations where you believe there are human tracks as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of erosion that occurs with these footprints once they're exposed. Supposedly when they were first discovered, like back in the 1930s and things, people were actually digging them up and selling them.
2 days later, someone went into the Paluxy Riverbed, knew where the tracks were, knew which track to smash, and they smashed only the human footprints that Don talked about at his conference.
Convenient or inconvenient.
So it's just a lot of eyewitness testimony as to what it was, so no one can actually look at some of those now.
I'm confused. I thought I'm supposed to believe in the resurrection of Jesus based solely on eyewitness testimony. But now testimony can't even establish footprints.
And we actually have an article on our website about this on arguments creationists should not use. Okay, so this has been used a lot in the past to say, oh, look, dinosaurs and humans live together. That supports what the Bible says. But it's very, like I say, it's not a good one to use. There's so much better evidence.
Even many creation ministries have said, yeah, let's not necessarily use those because we got plenty of other evidence without that.
And one of the main ones is the Bible.
I mean, now I realize, no, that's not the best evidence. The best evidence is...
The best evidence is God's word.
Of course.
Isn't that nice? You agree after all. But wait, isn't what's in the Genesis creation account just the eyewitness testimony from God?
So it's just a lot of eyewitness testimony as to what it was. But we don't want to use arguments that aren't really that good.
Yeah, so if we start using sketchy evidence that isn't really solid and can be debunked, if we convince somebody with evidence that's not solid and that gets debunked, we've just convinced them, and now that gets taken out. Now the foundation that we convinced them with is taken away. And what's that going to do to the grounding on which we convince him with?
He's not wrong. That's exactly my story. I was a young Earth creationist myself until I realized that the evidence to support it was easily debunked, which eventually undermined my confidence in the Old Testament and then the New Testament. And now here I am, a former Christian with a YouTube channel critiquing the dubious claims of Christians. Now, it turns out that in my case, answers in Genesis were the ones with the sketchy evidence, so perhaps they could use a little further introspection on this.
All right, so last, this is kind of a fun one because a lot of people have been commenting on this. A rare spotless giraffe was born in a Tennessee zoo.
Well, I had to include this one, not just because it's fun, but because there were 207 total sources for this one tracked on Ground News. That's the most I've seen on any story. Why this one? Is it just the perfect palate cleanser puff piece? And an excuse for adorable baby animal clickbait?
Did you see this report that the zoo got a baby otter? It's on the same site.
Oh, it's kissing its mommy.
Please. Oh, you have to see this. It's like the cutest thing ever.
It's 81% high factuality sources, only 1% coverage by low factuality. 55% center, 28% right, 17% left. The left tended to tie this to broader wildlife conservation and also, for some reason, to emphasize the contest to name the giraffe. I guess the right thinks the zoo should just name their own giraffe without resorting to communist crowdsourcing.
And so basically, this isn't the only time this has ever happened. It did happen back in the 70s twice. I think both of them happened in Japan.
We can't not put up pictures. This one's from 1972, born in Tokyo.
She said there are a lot of giraffes are very inbred in the zoo. So this giraffe was born as the result of a father-daughter cross.
You are the most wonderful husband and son I ever had.
She said the spots they believe on giraffes have something to do with heat dispersion. And so because this giraffe doesn't have spots, it may be a problem for it.
In their natural habitat, giraffes are standing in the sweltering savanna heat all day, so they're prone to overheat. At the same time, they're so huge that by the time blood leaves their heart and travels to their feet, it's relatively cool. Where the giraffe has spots, its skin is thinner and blood vessels more concentrated. So the hot blood travels adjacent to the cooler blood, and the resulting heat transfer regulates the whole thing.
Yeah, so it's cute, but it's a good reminder of the things that we talk about when we talk about the animal kinds that were on the ark. And well, promote a book while we're at it, how many animals were there on the ark? This goes into that concept of how we determine the animal kinds. And when we're talking about, like, there were two cats on board the ark, there's a lot of genetic diversity within that cat kind.
How can you say with a straight face that there was a lot of genetic diversity in just two individuals, even with God involved?
And then from that, you get, like, cheetahs, which also, like giraffes, are also very heavily inbred, which is one of the reasons they're endangered.
Exactly. Genetic bottlenecking is hugely problematic. The cheetah example they gave is the result of getting down to only a few thousand individuals in the population. Yet in the same breath, Answers to Genesis is talking about a literal ark, which took the number of felines in general down to just two. And this couple was somehow full of genetic diversity in a non-problematic way?
You get lions and tigers. Those are all part of the cat kind. That's not evolution. People will accuse us of believing like in hyper-evolution, super-fast evolution.
Exactly. Bill Nye explained it well.
So let's see. If there are 4,000 years since Ken Ham's flood, and let's say, as he said many times, there are 7,000 kinds. So we'll take a number which I think is pretty reasonable, 16 million species today. Okay? We would expect to find 11 new species every day. So you'd go out into your yard, you wouldn't just find a different bird, a new bird. You'd find a different kind of bird, a whole new species of bird every day, a new species of fish, a new species of organisms you can't see, and so on. I mean, this would be enormous news. The last 4,000 years, people would have seen these changes among us.
No, it's the opposite. You're losing genetic information every step of the way. Whenever you get these new species, they're missing a whole bunch of information.
Call it what you will, the math is still the math. The Answers in Genesis flood model needs new species arriving on the scene on the daily. Answers in Genesis say that the giraffe and the okapi are of the same kind, so they would share the same two ancestors on the ark. So according to AIG, these two species micro-evolve their differences in not just a few thousand years, but in a few hundred years, since we have 4,000-year-old paintings of giraffes from what would be just a few generations after the flood, according to AIG timing. This to this in maybe five generations? That's hyper-evolution by any definition.
It's another example of science, what we see in science actually confirming what the Bible says.
Oh, are we just asserting things that don't follow? Okay, then this has been yet another episode of Answers in Genesis, providing meaningful evidence and sound scientific reasoning.
All right, we're out of time for today, so we'll see you back here next week.
It might not be next week, but we'll definitely see you back here again for another installment of Ham and Egg News. Once again, thank you to Ground News for sponsoring this video, and for your 30% off, go to ground.news/apologia. Until next time, later.